The Tesla and SpaceX boss now has something to fill his spare time. I'm David Brancaccia, coming to you this week from Houston. Elon Musk is now officially the owner of the social media platform Twitter. He wanted it, he didn't want it, maybe he wanted it, now he's got it. And along with taking the keys, Musk last night promptly fired Twitter's CEO and other top executives. The key question now is how laissez-faire Musk will be about allowing nasty content on his platform. Lauren Hirsch covers this for The New York Times. Greetings.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have a sense yet from your reporting about whether or not Musk really is going to make this more of a free-for-all?
Truly, the one thing that I can tell you with certainty is that very few people have any idea what Elon Musk has planned. He may or may not have a clear plan. He put out a note yesterday to advertisers, seemingly trying to calm them a bit and temper fears. But, you know, but that goal is not necessarily... It's unsure that whether or not that's achievable, right? He has kind of lofty ambitions of simultaneously being a little bit more loose on moderating content while also keeping it safe. But one of the giant challenges that Twitter and so many other social media companies have faced is how you scale something like that.
You cover mergers or acquisitions like this routinely. Does it seem abrupt to you that the CEO, chief financial officer, get the axe instantly like this?
Yes, he was making a very clear point. A lot of times you draw up retention agreements in a deal and you tell employees nothing's going to change. The leader that you are, you know, close to will stay here for, you know, for at least several months. So it is exceptionally abrupt to get rid of so many senior leaders all at once. And it was clearly a signal that Musk was trying to send employees and the public at large.
Lauren Hirsch covers business for The New York Times. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
The Federal Reserve's favorite gauge of inflation shows that inflation did not get worse in September, though prices are still up 6.2% in a year. Within that set of personal consumption expenditures is news of a kind of reawakening of consumer spending last month, with people out there buying again. This contrasts with the Amazon narrative last night that its holiday shopping season's not expected to go well. Christopher Lowe's the chief economist at FHN Financial.
What you see is that income after inflation, which fell from October of last year until June of this year, turned the corner in July. Since June, it's up at a 2.7% annual rate, which is really pretty good. And that's what allowed people to spend more. It's precisely, frankly, the opposite of what the Fed wants to see. The whole point of tightening is to slow demand.
You know what it's also not, Chris?
What's that?
A recession.
That is true. And, you know, when you compare this to, well, we get consumer sentiment numbers later this morning. The consumer mood's been really grim. But in fact, the data suggests things are getting easier, not worse.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist, FHN Financial. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Peak demand for fossil fuel could happen this very decade. Now, that's from the International Energy Agency. The timeline is prompted in part by the green energy conversion ongoing, but also pushed along by Russia's war on Ukraine. It's the first time that agency has offered a timeline. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more.
Some producers seem unfazed by the IEA's prediction. Shell's chief executive reacted by saying falling demand in the future doesn't eliminate the need for new projects now. Clark Williams Derry of the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis says recent high prices have attracted investment.
But the high prices are also helping to destroy demand and creating a much more uncertain investment climate for oil and gas in the future.
The IEA anticipates natural gas demand will flatten by 2030 and demand for oil to do the same a few years later. UC Santa Barbara's Leah Stokes says many new fossil fuel investments will likely end up as stranded assets.
They're going to be projects that don't operate for very long and therefore waste a lot of money.
Stokes expects more investment in clean energy. The IEA says that could exceed $2 trillion a year by 2030. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Now to the fiscal implications of being a no-show. It's the case of Harris County, Texas, the jurisdiction that includes the city of Houston. Automatic cuts for policing and other government functions are coming after there weren't enough county commissioners at key meetings to set the tax rate. Now joining us for more is Andrew Schneider, politics and government reporter for Houston Public Media, who walked across the hall to join us here. Hey there.
Hello.
So what's the deal? Five members on this county commission. Why can't they get a budget together?
Well, under state law, you have to have at least four members of the commissioner's court present at any time in order to vote on tax rates. The commissioner's court is divided with three Democrats and two Republicans, and the two Republicans have been boycotting the commissioner's court meetings now for well over a month in order to prevent a tax rate from being passed.
But here's the thing. If they don't come up with this new tax rate, you don't get a budget, and then automatically programs start getting dinged?
More or less. This, essentially what's happened is they've been forced to revert to a version of the last fiscal year's budget with the funding that's maybe about $70 million more than they were able to bring in last year. But that's nowhere near what they were hoping to pass in terms of this year's budget.
So what gets cut, if nothing else changes?
Just about everything. The only thing that's really protected under state law is funding for the jail system. So everything from public safety to public health to libraries to flood control. There are concerns that future elections are going to be affected in terms of being able to staff polling places. It's an all-encompassing problem.
So the two Republicans who are choosing not to show up, they're okay with the idea that public safety police might find their budgets cut?
They have been avoiding that in terms of their comments. They've been framing this more in terms of saving the public money. The way that they have been promoting this is they've been saying that the Democratic majority's proposal would essentially amount to a tax increase of more than $250 million. And in a time of inflation, they say that this is something that Harris County voters simply can't handle.
All right, well, we'll see what happens in the tax rate less Harris County, Texas here. Andrew Schneider, politics and government reporter here at Houston Public Media. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Producers for our programs out of Houston this week include Marketplace's Meredith Gerritsen, Erica Soderstrom, and Jarrett Dang. Our engineer in the field is Juan Carlos Torrado. Engineers in L.A. are Jessen Dueler, J.C. Bold, and Nick Esposito. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Thanks to all. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.